Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Do you want to make a difference in your world? When you have to leave this old world to go to your eternal destiny, are people going to say of you, he or she will be missed? That person made our community and our state safer, more moral, and more spiritual. If you want to make a difference, and I assume most of you do, how do you go about it? What can you do to elevate the moral and spiritual atmosphere in our nation? Can you do it by voting? Changing some of our officials in our counties, in our state, and in our nation's capital can make a difference, but probably not a permanent one. You can give money to worthy causes, and that unquestionably helps some people and communities. But every one of these is a stopgap measure. They are not likely to reverse the downhill slide into vicious crimes, sexual promiscuity, and drug abuse. Something more must be done. Christians have the greatest opportunity and obligation of any people on earth. We are to shine as lights in the world. In other words, we are to be examples of the kind of behavior which elevates the moral and spiritual atmosphere in our nation. That was what Jesus had in mind when he said in his Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city which is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. Including and letting our light shine is the responsibility of holding forth the word of life. The truth of the matter is, there is one and only one solution to the moral and spiritual problems which we face in the church and in the nation: preaching and living the truth of God's Word. No political or social or academic or military solution to these problems exists or can be found. Only God knows what we need and has provided for our needs in His inspired Word. Paul told the Ephesian elders, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Acts 20:32. Have you thought much about the expression, Word of Life? Why is God's Word called the Word of Life? There are probably many reasons, but let me mention just two. God's Word gives us instructions and guidance which will keep us alive physically. If you refrain from criminal activities, you are likely to live much longer than would otherwise be the case. If you do not engage in drinking beverage alcohol or using other drugs, you will live longer and enjoy it more than if you become addicted to these activities. If you refrain from sexual immorality, you will not contract venereal diseases such as syphilis and AIDS, and will live longer and have a more abundant life. But the life Paul had in mind in Philippians 2, almost unquestionably, was eternal life. God's inspired word was designed to give us instructions on how to gain eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ said in the parable of the Good Shepherd, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. When we preach the word of life, we give men and women the opportunity to believe it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When men believe that word, repent of their sins, confess their faith in Christ before men, and are baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, they are on their way to the eternal home of the soul. We thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.